DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think there were some good things in there, and then I think there was some plays that each of them would want back. Every game for every position isn't going to be hunky-dory. You know, using two safeties over here before, Mike and Jordan, every game wasn't. The only thing that matters about the last game is what we do moving forward and understanding the improvements we got to make. Like I said, they each did some good things, and there were some plays that they would want back. There's no doubt that they're aware of that, like every player is, and they want to be really good. They put the work in to be really good, and we'll just continue to bank the reps. If we're peaking right now, we're peaking at the wrong time.
Bobby Babich, Bills defensive coordinator. Some grades, you know, you got your all your different levels to ways to analyze how players did, and the Bills had some good, some bad. Again, could Ed Oliver be the AFC Defensive Player of the Week? He could. Mm-hmm. He was PFF's highest graded defensive tackle in the entire league. Mm-hmm. Then you have TJ Sanders in his first career game. PFF ranked him 101st out of 103 mm-hmm. defensive tackles. The linebackers, Milano and Bernard, out of 67 graded linebackers, they were 64th. Tie. Yeah. Both really, really bad grades for linebackers and interior line. So the Bills had some passengers and some drivers when it comes to this game in their win against Baltimore. 803-0550. And Babich there saying something that I would tend to agree with. I don't know about, you know, you don't exactly all pick when you peak. But for the Bills defense, it was probably always going to be a work in progress. Right? They drafted a lot of guys. First round pick, hurt. Second round pick, all right. Learn. Third round pick, inactive. Fourth round pick, mm-hmm. learning on the job. So, you know, you've got pieces that hopefully will find their spots, learn their jobs. Developmental coaching is something this organization prides itself on. I don't want to get worried about the defense till we're a good 10 weeks into the season. That might be too long. That might be giving them too much of a pass, but, you know, it's probably always going to be a work in progress, and they won't face a test that tough for weeks.
No, they won't. And that's an offense that they just played where you could have a really good defense and it just might still look like that sometimes.
This week might
be. That Ravens offense can do that. I don't think there's a defense in the league the Ravens can't do that to.
Right. This week might be really good context because the Jets ran the ball well against Pittsburgh. Breece Hall looked good. Justin Fields, they moved the ball and they scored their points. If the Bills hold the Jets to 20, aren't you immediately going to feel a little bit better? Like, all right, you know, the pressure you got on Lamar is elite at evading sacks, and Justin Fields is terrible
he's
at it.
He's really bad at it.
Even though he's mobile, he's terrible at that. So we'll see. This week could give us some good context. You want to give us a call on how to keep things going on the offense and maybe get to better results earlier, or how to do the same with defense? Of course, that's more of a week-to-week thing for offense. We're talking about if the Bills need to change things a little bit in the first half. Be more aggressive. Feel like they should pass it more often than they did earlier on. You had some numbers on their second and short numbers too, right? Like second and one, third and ones.
So in the last year since the Bills, Joe Brady became the full-time offensive coordinator, they have a very easy-to-see trend on second and short, which is often like statistically proven, I think, is like the most like take advantage of that play. Second and short, you can get tons of yards on that type of play. And the Bills just do not take their shots. On second and one, since last year, the Bills have attempted 3 passes on second and one to 15 runs. This is not including like when they get down by the goal line, obviously. And they're averaging like 3.5 yards a carry while averaging 9 yards a pass when they're throwing it. And when it's second and two or second and one, the Bills have thrown it 6 of 7 times. 6 for 7 passing the ball versus 25 runs. Which, like, they're getting first downs on 70% of these runs, but you're barely doing it. You're getting it by an extra yard or two, whereas these passes are effective, and you're getting chunks. And the Bills coordinator, it's like one of the most nitpicky parts for me about his play calling that bothers me.
Second and short.
Is they treat a four-yard run on second and two like that's a successful play. And it isn't.
Well, by EPA, it is.
But it really isn't.
I know.
It feels like a wasted play.
It's a new set of downs. And that is, it's not even a trend. I would say that is part of, well, that's fundamental to the Bills' offense under Joe Brady. And that's what they did in the playoff game against the Chiefs that they ultimately lost. In that game, there are a lot of second and shorts, and they ran. I mentioned it a lot. They used to have it committed to memory. I think it was 10 out of 13 they ran.
Yep.
So they are a
second. And that lines up with about what they've done over the last two years.
So they are a second and short run the ball team. We earned a second and short. Right. Let's get a new set of downs. That's the way that Brady seems to operate.
Which plays like you play like you're afraid of third and two or fourth and two for that matter with this quarterback, which. Yeah. Third and two, fourth and two should be less scary to a team with this quarterback than any other team in the league. He can just broken play third and two, fourth and two, like, oh, that play call didn't work at all. Josh got five. First down. Yeah. I've got three downs to get that amount of yardage. And on these second down situations, that's when they should be attacking these defenses. If I were a defense, I'd be terrified of, man, they feel like they got a free play here. I got the best quarterback in the world, and he's about to go after me because he knows he's got two plays in his back pocket to get 2 yards after this, and the Bills consistently pass on it. Like, not pass. They
pass on passing.
They pass on passing. Like, yeah. No, we're good. We'll... I feel like you're almost letting the defense off the hook. Like, if I'm a defense, I just go ahead, take it. When it's not run the play, it's second and two, take the first down. Right. First and 10 at the same spot, I'll make that trade with you if I'm a defense. And the Bills consistently make that trade with the other team.
Yeah, because there's a game theory thing here. There's a feeling of you're facing second and one against a Josh Allen offense. Well, my chances of getting him off the field on second and one are really low.
Yeah.
Let's try again in first and 10. I'll give you 1 yard.
Right.
And let's get a new set of downs.
Don't take 30 from me. Like, I'll give you one, and you can start over here. And the Bills are the team that is looking for that.
And then, of course, like in the opening couple drives, the second and one and third and one, they weren't even successful.
Yeah. Right. Which I think that's rare. I think even if you hand it to Cook and you take Allen out of the equation, which is what they did there, it's probably pretty rare that if you ran the ball twice, you wouldn't get it. That wouldn't be my part of the criticism, but they did. You do open yourself up to that. Yeah. You're averaging 3 yards a pop on those plays versus the 9 when Allen's dropping back to pass in that situation. Again, it's a nitpicky part of that game, of his play calling, but go attack him on those spots.
803-0550 is our phone number. Mike in Orchard Park is next up. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. So basically, I'm not. I don't know if we could really get a fair analyst from this game. But both these teams are top of the league, man. Like, there's some ballers on both sides of the ball. Between the Ravens, I was looking. Ronnie Stanley, PPF ranked him. One of the top offensive linemen of the week there. Both good football players, and I felt they won some reps and against us, and obviously, Ed Oliver and our defensive line won some reps against them. So I don't know if I'm going to write off the Bills defense just yet. I would like to see them, finish the month of September. Obviously, I feel with the Patriots and the Jets, we're going to get their best, right? And I feel they're going to try to expose some of the stuff they found on film. Joey Bosa, I think if he's playing a different quarterback, I think he probably has 2 sacks. You know what I mean? So, I feel a lot of what we've seen on film Sunday night is correctable and is coachable. So, moving forward here, I want to see some more, film and kind of give a fair analysis of kind of where our defense stands. And as far as our offense, I felt we built some confidence in the fourth quarter. I felt maybe Josh Allen and, Brady was more timid, with play calling. So I'm kind of curious to see, where we move as an offensive unit. And, hopefully, we could, Josh Allen could build some more confidence with his new receiving corps.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, the new receiving corps, they all have different things that they excel at. Palmer did a nice job getting open on that 30-yard gain on the final drive.
Mm-hmm.
Coleman, again, he got tripped on the play, but you start to see – He's such an interesting receiver, Coleman is, because he's so good after the catch, which is not, I don't know, Joe, how many guys ever have been not good at separating from their man, but then when they have the ball in their hands, they're very good at separating from their man. You know, like he gets away from people and he's strong and he's tough to bring down. So Coleman has his strengths, no doubt about it. And I don't know if we should be expecting 8 for 112 every week. That's a game where the numbers kind of get crooked because of the circumstances. But you know, he was what they needed him to be. He drew a penalty or two. He comes up with a big third down. Like, he was super important to what they did, and there's no doubt Allen looks for him. And sometimes when he doesn't look for him, Coleman, it's a testament to him, right, that he's always finding Allen. Go back to that touchdown against the Jets last year that's intended for Ty Johnson, and then this one that's deflected. Coleman is finding his way back to his quarterback. That's for sure, even when the quarterback's not looking for him.
That's definitely true. I mean, these plays where he's scrambling around, those are Gabe Davis plays from back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, when Allen is buying time, who's the guy that's heading downfield? He's trying to, you know, mesh with where his quarterback is going because half the field's going to get taken away. And Davis was very good at that. And Coleman, you had a couple of those plays last year. There was the one against the Lions. Remember where Josh got rocked on the play and Coleman had gone over there and like headed down the field and it was like a 50-yard gain?
Yeah.
Him being that guy, I mean, because really, once he gets out into that open space, he's the guy I do want with the ball in his hands. If he could, and that was something Davis would catch in those areas, and then that was it. Like, he would fall down there, or he'd get tackled immediately. And Coleman, I'd like to think, can create more than that. They tried to get him worked in, by the way, in screens a little earlier, but he just dropped it, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a play. That's a player I'd rather throw that screen to. They're throwing to tight ends on some of these plays. If you're going to run them, and ideally don't do it on 3rd and 6, I mean, Coleman might be my favorite idea for that right now.
Greg in Toronto is next up. Hey, Greg.
Good morning, gentlemen. So, Joe, to your earlier point, I'm old enough to remember when Jim Kelly used to call his own plays all the time. And he went as far as saying that if he was unable to call his own plays, he would retire. Are we not at a point where, because let's face it, the second half of that game, you know, you could tell Josh was able to do more of what he wanted to do or what the team needed him to do. So where are we on just letting the man call his own plays? Let him do what he needs to do. I think if he was able to do that, you know, the team has had a lot of success. They'd even be more successful.
I think there is some of that. This screen we're talking about on 3rd and 6, Allen,
he checked
to it, which I think is also what happened in the AFC Championship game when he did it to Cooper.
Right, which there's a point to be made about when a quarterback checks into a play. Does that now go to the quarterback? Sure, it's his decision, right? He checks in that play. Mm-hmm. He sees something he likes. He makes a check. Of course, the checks you put in are a function of the offense.
Right.
There's an audible. There's a check. A check is just, we're going to run this instead versus a full-on changing the full play.
There's also in the original play that you called in that
you don't
Allen
like,
doesn't like in the first place.
If you would call the
different play, maybe he doesn't check to a screen.
Maybe, maybe not.
I don't know.
I want to give Allen, of course, freedom. He takes tons of freedom after the snap. That's when he maybe is at his best.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, this is where we go back to Ken Dorsey's name came up a lot this week. When we would talk about that decision, Dorsey is time for a change, you want someone that has this job to bring out the best in Josh. And what Brady has done is get the great Superman player without the kryptonite mixed in, right? The turnovers, the turnover-worthy plays, the blatant disregard for the football. I mean, Allen used to fumble a lot and throw interceptions at a high rate, and that has been, you know, kind of reined in. So I don't know if I want to go all the way to remove the offensive coordinator from the equation, because there's no doubt they've found a pretty good mix. And, you know, any conversation we're having today is about, like, tweaking it. Like, maybe throw it some more. Maybe don't run on 2nd and 1.
And really, it's all in the context of how they would play the Ravens again for me.
Right, yeah, that's a big part.
Because a lot of this is not going to be needed against Atlanta or Miami, or Houston when they put Pittsburgh. Like, even these, those teams I just mentioned aren't bad, bad teams. They're like middling teams in the league, and I don't think it's as important when you're playing teams like that. But when you're playing Baltimore, I just think you got to be. You probably got to be perfect.
Most DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's times. Unless they have the lead and blow it like they did at the end, which they can do too.
Gina in Delaware. Hey, Gina, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. I obviously, I am still trying to do a little woosah this morning because at 3 a.m., I'm watching reels of the stadium. Josh Allen going to Pater. Welcome to Buffalo, baby. Hearing Pater say, I looked at Josh, and of course I can't quote him, but the vibe of, I just do want to do right by you, bro. I just want to do right by Buffalo. And he did. 2 points I want to bring up with the Ravens game, and then I'm on to the Jets. Number one, Chris Collinsworth, who I can't stand, by the way, but we got to listen to him, said, you challenge your manhood when you play the Ravens. The teams go up to the line. There's no smash talking. That's what he said. I'm just paraphrasing. They have total respect for each other. And I couldn't be more proud of the Bills and how they played. First game, strong energy against the Ravens. Weak secondary, strong rookie performance. Okay, those rookies showed up big time. Coleman, he must have caught my vibes, man, because I was calling on his name in Kincaid, and he was catching my vibes like he was doing those balls. And Ed Oliver, man, that one play, I see him in my mind. I think his name is Filele or something, number 77. He pushed him over like a Pringle potato chip. So those are my points. And so, oh, my God, I'm on the fuck. Oh, my God, guys, I'm so sorry. I almost got ran over by a maniac here. I apologize my language.
Okay.
All right, one more point. The Jets. Let's not poo-poo the Jets. We can't poo-poo them. Their defense is strong. The Bills play to the audience. Okay, go Bills. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gina. I don't know if the Jets' defense is good. They gave up 4 touchdown passes to Aaron Rodgers.
They did not look great in week one. The secondary of Round Sauce Gardner looked like it was getting exposed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Like, hey, that's an interesting matchup, but can... Even if Gardner takes away, like, Coleman, if he follows Coleman around, then, all right, Josh Palmer, go. Calvin Austin was beating those Jets corners last week, so I would like to think Palmer can. So it'll be an interesting matchup.
Thanks, Gina. Hope everything's okay there. I mean, drive safe.
Yeah.
803-0550. We are getting to get into let's not look past this team season. And I just got a little bit of,
yeah,
it's going to happen. We are talking about the Super Bowl. We're not going to stop talking about the Super Bowl. We're not going to stop talking about the one seed. We're not going to stop talking about the race with Baltimore or Kansas City or whatever. I mean, the season exists as a storyline. And, hey, just focus on the Jets. Like, respectfully, no. There'll be plenty to talk about and focus on the Jets.
Yeah.
The Bills will be major favorites. They're favored to win every game. By the way, they won't be favored to win every game. They were favored to win every game, then became underdogs against Baltimore.
Right.
But so maybe they played the nobody believes in us card. The Bills in this game are 7-point favorites. That is a little smaller than...
On the road?
Yeah. 7 points.
Road 7-point favorite is a pretty healthy amount of respect.
Okay.
That would mean they'd be a 10-point favorite over the Jets here?
I mean, more than that, probably.
They're 1.5 is about home field now.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, like 3 total, I would think.
They are the second biggest favorite of the week. The biggest favorite of the week is Baltimore, 11.5 home against the Browns.
Okay. It's just the Jets. It's the Jets. If it were there are a handful of teams. If they were playing the Bengals week 2, we'd be like, I think, all in on like what this matchup is all this early in the week. I mean, we will definitely do that later in the week, but it's Justin Fields and the Jets. I don't know. It's not the sexiest opponent out of the gates.
It's Justin Fields. There's just absolutely no excuse for this team to lose to Justin Fields.
Correct.
That's it. He is a sack machine.
Joey, but what's the over on Joey Bosa in this game?
I'll take a sack.
You want Bosa like over? What line can I get in like him to get two sacks?
Give me an Ed Oliver sack. I'll take an Ed Oliver sack. Dan in North Carolina. Hey, Dan.
Hey guys. The play call on second down discussion. My son and I, adult son, got into a rather spirited debate about this last night. He wants to blame McDermott for everything. I mean, it's, you know, just whatever. He's that guy. I'm not really a huge McDermott guy, but I guess I'm somewhat of a McDermott apologist because I think that being the head coach is more than just, you know, second down play call on offense or defense during a game. It's the whole management of the whole frickin' thing. I mean, it's a big job, and I think he's done a good job. Has he been perfect? No. Are people ever going to let the 13 seconds deal go? Probably not till he wins, you know, whatever. But back to the point of the play call on second down. My kid wants to blame McDermott for everything. And I said, he has an OC. You know, the defense giving up all the yards on the ground. You know, he's a defensive coach. I agree, but he's not the DC. I mean, his position is, don't you think that, you know, I mean, he's really an ultimate, you know, I'm a small business owner. I work with my son. I got to listen to him all the time. You know, I mean, I'm in charge of everything. I'm ultimately responsible for everything. Well, so is McDermott. But I said, he can't micromanage every aspect of it. Do you actually think he's demanding that the guy run the ball on second down? I mean, he has an OC. Well, you know, the defense, the alignments, you know, back in 13 seconds, maybe I do blame him for that. I don't know, but I think he's probably grown and learned. He delegates. He has coordinators. Who, with the running the ball on second down and one, drives me crazy too. Who's, I mean, is it the OC or is it, you know, really McDermott's philosophy? You know, what do you think? And I'm if you could leave me on, I'd like to be able to listen to your response.
Sure thing, Dan. Thanks for the phone call. I do think it is – I'm going to go a little both sides here, so I might cheat a little bit. But I also want to lay out like what I think is a reality about McDermott. I think it is reasonable to suggest that the coordinator does things the coach wants from a identity standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. It's how it works. Coordinators and coaches sometimes argue, fight, don't get along. The reports of Brian Daboll and McDermott maybe clashing from time to time. Why would that be? He doesn't like the balance they have over here. He would sometimes say, we need to have the threat of running the football. Brian Daboll would sometimes open games 17 consecutive passes, right? And if that worked, great. And if it didn't work, we got to get back to running the ball. When they play in Houston, right? The Bills open up with three passes in a very late drive, and McDermott wants them to run, but the coordinator calls. So I feel like there's always a balance. The reality is that we don't know what that balance is, how they strike it, how they do it. But one thing that I think is undeniable is that if the offense has bad things, you blame the defensive head coach. And if the offense has good things, the defensive head coach does not get any credit. McDermott gets very little credit for Josh Allen being Josh Allen. Right?
Right.
Very, very little credit for that. They've scored a million points. They were the second highest scoring team in the league last year behind only Detroit. McDermott gets no credit for that. It's just a reality on the way that people kind of perceive defensive coach, offensive coach, and on, is if you have an offense that is number one in scoring and your coach is a defensive guy, they didn't score that because of that guy. That's the best I got.
Yep.
So, Dan, as you fight with your son, I think you both have points. Does he flat out call down and say, run it on second and one? Or does the coordinator have the job because the head coach likes that? They have an agreement in the way that they run things? You know, it's maybe a little bit of all of it. They have a great offense. Does your son give McDermott credit for having a great offense? Ask him that. That's what I would come back with. Oh, you think he calls second and one? Did he call all the plays that got all the points too were just the ones that you didn't like, right? Like, I'm sure, you know, I feel like we had this conversation with Sal a lot. Like, hey, he doesn't get credit for the good stuff, only gets criticized for the bad stuff. Anyway, 803-0550. Howard's here to pick the Bills. Boy, I bet. Let me tell you.
It's going to be a good week for that.
During Sunday night, those sounds you heard in the air, it was probably Howard screaming from his basement bunker. You made it through the game. He made it. He
stayed up.
He stayed up. I mean, I'm glad you made it. He was going through stress, I bet. We'll talk about it on the other side. 803-0550. Howard picks the Bills next.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.